Thank you for coming this morning. Is there anybody who is here for the first time? A couple of you. So let me just say that sort of we've just finished the meditation section and now we have the talk section of our Sunday. And this has sort of been a series. So for those of you who are new today, I'll try to give you a 5 or 10 minute little summary, that's okay. When I was in India traveling about taking teachings from the Tibetan teachers, you'd come and a lot of times the teachers would have been teaching, for a while, some text or something. So they'd always say, if you sort of came in the middle or if you came in at the end, like the highest thing, they say, well, that's good karma, it's sort of like you showed up for the teaching you needed to hear. Now, whether that's spiritual gobbledygook or not, I don't know, but especially when you showed up for the higher teaching accidentally, that felt good to hear, good karma. But before we get into the teaching, just in terms of what we've done today, the meditation, the sitting, the walking, the instructions, is there anything that's not clear? I mean, this is the most important because, what we do here on a Sunday or what we do formally is just a little tiny part of our week. And if we are not able to bring what we are practicing here, which is a mind that is relaxed and open and ability to attend to whatever's going on without holding on to things, if we, don't know how to do that and cultivate that on a daily basis, then the effects, the fruits of what we're experiencing here in a more structured and guided situation will only have small benefit for us. So I want to make sure that everybody understands what the practice is and knows how to bring it into their life. So just are there any questions about the practice we did today? Sitting meditation, walking meditation, how to deal with thoughts and distractions. Yes.
I have this question,
and I feel
like I ask it
periodically. Good. Can you just talk briefly at the end there when it says the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality,
and we hear so much about equality in the news, but
can
you explain that a little bit?
Yeah.
Well,
at least it'll benefit you.
Yeah.
So, again, obviously, social equality is not what we're talking about here. Okay. So this is not that. This is personal. This has to do with our own minds. Is that clear? And we want to be free of all the things that that oppress us. That keep us from being free as just within ourselves, right? So these are the complexes that a human being carries around in their mind about themselves. Is that clear? Right? Some people think what? They're superior to everybody else. That's called the superiority complex. Right? I'm better than everybody else, smarter, more entitled, more beautiful, more this, more that, just better, 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 right? And that gives a kind of arrogance, right? So that's a superiority complex. On the other side of that, we have the inferiority complex. So some people carry around a belief about themselves, a story about themselves, that they're, unworthy, less than, unlovable, worst of, deficient, right? Is that clear? That's the inferiority complex. But that's just, again, those are just going on in our mind. They're not going on in reality. They're just the thoughts and the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, right? Now, the equality complex is a particularly Buddhist one because I think these first two we kind of get, The equality complex means I'm just as good as everybody else. It's kind of like the jealousy one. Why did they, you know, why did they, why are they first in line? You see? You know, why are people coming up to them at the party and nobody's coming up to me? Aren't I as good as them? You see what I mean? You know, why didn't, you know, why didn't I get the raise? Why did they get, you know, why are people saying hello to them and not saying hello to me? You see? So that's like a false kind of, you know, it doesn't accept that, you know, what? That we're not, socially, legally, we are equal. You know, it's a human rights, we're equal, right? But this is not about that, okay? This is that, you know, that piece like, you know, it's like, how about me? Aren't I as good as everybody else? Well, no. You know, some people are better athletes than others. Some people are better musicians than others. Some people are better at studies than others. Some people are better than their hands with their hands than others. Some people are more creative than others. Isn't that true? Right? Some people get the breaks, some people don't. Right? I mean, so that's what that's about, which is a really kind of a very subtle, but it breeds that jealousy and envy and that, you know, that kind of nagging, you know, it's competitive. Right? What about me? You know, it's like when we get praised, we don't go, hey, how come they're not praising everybody? You see, we don't care about anybody else, do we? I mean, it's funny, you know, when we win the race, then what? You know, we don't go around, oh, how about all the people who didn't lose the race? Well, they're probably feeling pretty bad. Right? You know, I mean, we don't think that way. We go, so this is a really very good one. Because it really, you know, the other ones you're kind of stuck in and you really want to get out of it. But this one is more pernicious, and it really just creates always this edge. You know, it's that like we're always competing with other people. Did you know what I'm talking about? And again, I think in our society, which puts such an emphasis on competing and winning, it's kind of bred into us. And we don't realize, well, this may be the way the world is, but it's not the way that I have to be. So liberating ourselves from these three complexes, you can see, is freeing ourselves, right? That we show up in the world, you know, as ourselves. And we're not always comparing. We're not saying, I'm better than you, or I'm worse than you, or I'm as good as you, you know. Can you see? It's that stance of separation, which is, you know, it's disturbing. It keeps the mind disturbed. Why did this happen to me? I don't know. You want it to happen to somebody else? I mean, because, you know, why did this happen to me? Well, because things like this happen to people, right? I mean, isn't that true? Now, it doesn't mean we don't, but it's that whole, you know, like it shouldn't happen. Because what? Because me, I'm too good. Or else these things always happen to me because I'm bad. You see, it's like, you know, and sometimes we can't make up our mind, which it is. So, you know, this verse about, you know, may we be free. May we be liberated from these three complexes is really about being liberated from the tyranny of the burden of self. Because self is always concerned about itself. It's always calculating. It's always measuring. It's always assessing, right? The person who's superior, they always are. They're always from morning till night making sure what? What? Right. They're. You know, everybody knows how good they are, and that they always win, and they, you know what I mean. And everybody's kind of right. That's what they're very busy doing, making sure they stay superior and let everybody know it. Right. And the other person over here is going through life always making sure that they always feel less than. Right? They're always scanning the universe just to reinforce that they're less than, that life isn't, you know what I mean, right? I mean, they're both doing the same thing. They're very busy, right? And the person with the, you know, in the middle is also very busy. So this kind of busyness, this endless activity of the self to make sure that it's asserted, that it's getting what it deserves, you know, consumes a lot of our personal energy, right? And it creates a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of suffering. It causes suffering to ourselves because it means we are always angry, resentful, hurt, sad, disappointed, right? Because of the way we are, you know, the world is responding to ourself and its needs. So it's not a good way to live. It's better to be free of these three and just be yourself and let everybody else be themselves. Would it be nice if we thought of other people as equal to ourselves, which is the fundamental Buddhist belief, right? I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Right? I want to be respected. Everybody wants to be respected. They're just like me. Right? And when we get that, we move through the world with great equanimity and we treat everybody equally. Because we know that everybody is just like me. But these three complexes prevent us from doing that. Because we're always trying to prove to ourselves in the world that we're better than everybody, or we're less than everybody, or we're just as good as everybody. It's not none of it's true. We are really the same as everybody. And that's very workable. And that creates a very kind of wonderful world. People can take care of one another, people want to help one another, people care about the suffering of each other, you know, and they do all the things that go on in this world. When people do think they're better than others. We have a lot of that going on in our country today, don't we? Better than all those people. Terrible. But you probably all know that. That's why you're here. So, quick summary of the last, I think, 5-6 weeks. Began with Darlene in the back, you know, just looking at the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. Well, this is sort of the inferiority, you know, this is it, the stories we tell ourselves, right? And the stories we tell ourselves about everybody else. And so Darlene introduced the concept of questioning, is it true? Are you sure? Willing to take these beliefs we have about ourselves and everybody else, you know, moment to moment, they did this to me, they're the cause of this, they, you know, and are we willing to say, is that true? Absolutely true. And when you're willing to submit your own beliefs, your own thoughts, your own stories to that simple question, you will mostly always answer, I don't know. Right? We might think, I am the way I am because I, you know, because of my childhood. If I had a different childhood, I'd be different. Right? Many people carry that belief, don't they? Maybe people sitting in this room have that belief. But is that true? Do you absolutely know that you are who you are today because of your parents? And that if you had different parents, everything would have been wonderful? Is that true? No. You know, people who have good parents have totally screwed up lives. I've met a lot of them. Okay? And people who had terrible parents actually turn out quite well. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm just using that as an example, but we need to be willing, and that's, again, so we spent a number of weeks. Am I correct, Darlene? Are we doing a good job? Okay. Okay. And then I weighed in a couple of times and kind of looked at, you know, how we construct the world. And that's where we're moving a little bit today. How do we construct the world? Again, this is very personal. Those of you who think big, history, sociology, cultural, you know, all those things, okay? This is not that. That's all good, but this is personal. This is like where it all begins. Everything that goes on in the world, everything that has always gone on in the world, begins and ends with people. Obvious? Right. And people, even though they act with their bodies, do things with their bodies, positive and negative, and even though people do things with their mouth, they speak, positive and negative, wholesome, unwholesome, the part of ourselves that is really controlling all that is our mind. Right? As our mind is, so our speech is, so our actions of our body is. So, if we want to really change, whether it's ourselves or the world, we have to look at the mind, right? So, one of the things that I got into was kind of basic Buddhist psychology, and again, just follow along with me, that basically we're all the same. We see sights, we hear sounds, we smell smells, we have tastes, and we have sensations in our body. Everybody is the same. Is that true? Okay, doesn't matter how much money we have, whether we're male, female, gender, sex, you know, ethnic, religion, we're all the same, right? Is that true? We're all seeing here, that's the data, right? If we didn't have eyes and ears and nose and that, we wouldn't know anything, would we? The world would be unknown to us. So we're always taking in this information through our senses. Is that true? Yes. But then it gets a little screwy. Because there's something, a part of ourselves, that's organizing, making up stories about all that information. Is that true? And we call that our mind. So we're thinking, and we're generating thoughts about all this information, and we're organizing it according to what? According to the way our mind organizes things, right? Our likes, our dislikes, who we like, we don't like, music. You know, we think these things are real. I like this music, I don't like that music. This is good music, this is bad music. These are good people, bad people. We didn't come out of the womb with these kinds of tastes, did we? Did we? No. We were conditioned by situations, by our environment, by all kinds of situations, people. We are the product of all that. And where does that rest? In our minds. Now our minds have lots of thoughts and, you know, we're thinking. But as I also got into last time, we also have this storehouse consciousness where all the impressions of our past are kept. That is why, again, as I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, we can wake up in the morning feeling very fresh, right? A new day, just seeing where we are, and all of a sudden we remember what? We have issues. Right? You know, who am I? Who who am I angry at? Let me remember who am I angry at. Who am I hurt at? Who am I in competition with? Who do I blame for this? You know what I mean? You see, and we have to kind of recreate the story, right? So we can go in our day and really, you know. Does that sound familiar? Now that all is coming from our storehouse. It stores our past. It not only stores our past from yesterday or last night, you know, so we remember, you know, oh, yeah, I'm still hurt by that. Yeah, let me begin that one again. You know, I can remember. Yeah, I'm still resentful of that person. Yeah, I gotta let them know what I think of them. And some of us, you know, we bring it back. You know, I still have complexes. Where do they come from? I mean, you don't wake up in the morning with an inferiority complex, do you? No, you have to remember you do. Well, let me remember. Yeah, it's like we put on our outfit. We don't realize we could put on another outfit. Let me try out this. You know, it's like maybe you've had the inferiority complex your whole life. And you wake up one morning, what'd you say? Gee, maybe I'd like to try out the superiority complex today. Let's see what that's like. I mean, why not? Can anybody give me a good reason why not? They're just thoughts. They're just stories. I don't like that person. That's my story. What if I got up in the morning and say, today I'm really going to work at liking that person? I'm going to think to myself, I like that person. They're really a good person. I like them. And you go to work, or you go to school, or you go wherever you go, and you go with that one, not with the other one. But not knowing that all our thoughts and feeling perceptions are conditioned by this storehouse past, we just go and we keep recreating. Okay? So that's sort of where we went the last couple of weeks. Really beginning to look at these stories that arise in our mind and asking, are they true? Before we act on them, before we feel on them, before we emote on them, and also understanding where a lot of our stuff is coming from, why we are just endlessly recreating our personal drama within our own minds and with everybody else. So that's a quick summary. Now, and I did a little bit, I think, last time I here, where I sort of said, and yet, there's a part of our mind that is aware of all that. What is that? This is very interesting. We might say, well, yeah, I'm really upset about this, right? Everybody know that kind of statement, or I'm hurt by that, or I really want that, or right? But what is that that's saying that? That's something that Buddhists have looked into. What is that? Right? What is our minds? Since mind is the king, the queen, it is from mind that everything comes. All our thoughts, feelings, perceptions, all our actions, they're all coming from our mind. So Buddhism has been very concerned. What is a mind? What is this mind? Who am I? So I am reading from this text called The Great Path of Awakening. These are these slogans, 58, 59 slogans. They come from India to Tibet, quite wonderful. We spend a lot of time practicing and studying them in our community. I've given teachings on them over the years. So there are different sections. Most of the sections in this have to do with compassion and how to show up in the world as a compassionate person. Many of the teachings in here have to do with this very significant, which is action, which is how to turn adversity into the path of awakening. Very powerful teachings. Okay? Most of us, when we enter the world of adversity, we become aversive. We're overwhelmed. But to see, oh, the path of adversity, the path of difficulty, the path of challenge is the path to awakening. That's a very powerful teaching. But before it gets there, it goes into a section which is what I want to talk about today, which is what's called the absolute mind, the unconditioned mind, or like the, as I said to you earlier, this is like the deep end of the pool in Buddhism. Okay, so pay close attention. You know, earlier I was talking about all our stories and our conditioning. Remember that one and our complexes and remember all that stuff? But like, is there a bigger picture to what's going on? So this is the bigger picture of what's going on. So these, for those who are not familiar, these little slogans are just one-liners, most of them. They're not even full sentences because they're meant to be memorized so you can take them with you. So the first slogan is regard all phenomena as dreams. Simple? Yeah, very simple. So this is very powerful. What does it mean? So all phenomena really means everything that happens, all experience, right? So, like, we see things, right? We have a scene, like right now, we're having, you know, like we're having, like together now, we're having a seeing experience, right? We're just seeing each other, right? We're having a hearing experience. We're just hearing each other. You may be feeling things in your body. You're having a feeling experience. This is the phenomenon, right? Endlessly, we're seeing things, smelling things, tasting things, sensing things, smelling things. We're having thoughts, we're having feelings, we're having memories, we're having experiences. We're going here, we're going there, right? We're, you know, everything, like everything we do, right? Everything. All our life, past, present, future. Regard all of that as dreamlike. Regard means sort of have that be your view. Right? Now, why do they use the analogy of dreamlike, dream? Right. Now, if I said to you, now, does this seem, this moment, here we are, right? Does this seem real to us? Just look around. Does this seem real to you? You don't have to admit it. I mean, you have to admit it. It does seem real. Right? I mean, admit it. Doesn't this, we say, yeah, this is, Fred, what are you talking about? Of course this is real. Right? It's like everybody just touch themselves. Okay, everybody touching themselves. Do you feel like you're real? Right? I mean, do you feel like you're dreamlike? No, you feel like you're real, right? Solid. You feel like you're, yeah, I'm solid, right? Right? And everything looks very solid and real and permanent. Is that true? And yet, he says, see it all dreamlike. So, if you were in a dream, would everybody dream here? Yeah, so when you were in your last dream, did your dream seem real? Right? Did everybody in it seem real? Did you seem real? Right? If you would touch yourself in the dream like that, would you have gone, I'm real? Yes. Is that clear? Right. So, when we're dreaming, it seems absolutely real, solid, permanent, right? We don't know that it's not going to last. We're often, you know, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Because sometimes when you wake up from a dream, you're surprised that it's not continuing, aren't you? It's kind of funny. It's like, oh, it didn't continue. So he's saying, see this life, this waking life, as dream, as no different than a dream. How is this life dreamlike? It's impermanent. So it said it's impermanent. So when we're in a dream, we think it's real, and what's really happening is really happening. But then we wake up and we realize what when we wake up? It was impermanent. It wasn't real. It was dreamlike. It's like right now, does this seem real to you? Yeah. But is this going to last? No. You all came here today. Did that seem real when you were driving here? Yeah. Where is that experience of driving now? Gone. Just like it's dreamlike. It has no substance experience. Everybody in this room, how many experiences have you had in your life? Millions, thousands, hundred thousands. Where are they all? What? Gone. Like last night's dream. And yet at the time, our childhood seemed so real to us, didn't it? Remember? Very important, everything going on. Who likes who? Who doesn't like who? Who got invited to the party? Who didn't get invited to the party? Right? Remember that? Remember how real that seemed? Right? Remember how much drama you had around that stuff? Remember? I'm just picking out a little incident. Remember all that drama? All that emotion? All that acting out? All that concern? All those conversations? Because we thought what was going on was what? Real. This is as if it's going to last forever. I mean, there might have been people in your middle school or high school, right? And how they treated you or didn't treat you were very important to you, right? Remember? Your whole life might have depended on it. How many of those people are still in your life? How many people, I mean, do you still wake up every day wondering whether they like you or don't like you? You still care about whether you got invited to the party or not? Right? Do you? You laugh. Why? Why do you laugh? Because we took something as real that now we know was not real. It had a temporary reality. Buddhism doesn't deny that things have a temporary reality. Like, does this seem real? Everybody just pat themselves. Do you feel real? Touch your, you know, feel your body. Do you feel real? Yeah. And yet, our body is just made up of parts. If we took out the parts, spread them around, what would we see? We see anything called me? No. If you asked a physicist, I don't know if we have any. I don't read this stuff, but I mean, what is a physicist when they look at a body? What's a body? Is a body a solid thing? What? A lot of space in the body. Atoms, electrons, subatomic part. I mean, it's all this. It looks solid, but it's all space. A lot of space in it. But it doesn't appear that way, does it? It appears solid to us. It appears permanent to us. I mean, if I said everybody in here is aging and going to die. That's right. Everybody. There are young people in here. Okay, young people, you know who you are? Okay. Okay. I want the young people to look around and look at the older people and know one day you will be like us. Please remember that. And one day we were like you, but we didn't know that. We thought whatever we were was real, solid. We didn't realize, you know, it is, but it's dreamlike. It has no substance. Everything that's happened today is gone. You might have been concerned today about this or that, how your meditation was or how it wasn't, or, you know. And yet what? Where is all that concern? Ooh, I'm running late. Gotta get to work. Gone. So, to kind of have this view that the unfolding of life and phenomena has this dreamlike quality. It doesn't deny that it appears a certain way, but that's not really how it is. Right? If you're in the desert and you see a mirage of an oasis and water, does it appear real to the person who sees it? Absolutely. But when they get right up to it, they realize what? Just a mirage. And yet it appeared. So, this is the first instruction. To loosen things up. Again, it's not like we become nihilistic, like, oh, nothing matters, or, you know. I mean, if I said to you, in terms of your dream life, would you rather have a really wonderful, happy, spiritual dream? Or would you like to have just an endless, miserable dream? And you'd say what? What? Yeah. So the big picture, they're all dreams, right? You have a good, if you had a good dream last night or a terrible dream last night, ultimately what? It doesn't matter. They're all dreams. Is that clear? That's the ultimate view. But we also live in the relative, which means there's a very different experience of what? Of a good dream and a bad dream. And if we would have a choice, some control, we would say what? I choose. Yeah. Okay. Is that clear? So we can't go, oh, it's all dreams. Life is dream. Doesn't matter. I can just maybe when I drive home today, just keep my eyes closed, see what happens. It's all a dream. Well, that is true. It will not last forever, that experience, but in the short term, you know, you've gone to an extreme. Okay. So this teaching needs to be really understood that it's balanced. We don't go too far one way or the other. But it's important, we've gone so far over here in seeing everything as solid and permanent and real and self-existent, that we have to balance it with this wider, vaster view. So. So the next slogan turns things around a little bit, okay? Now, we have been talking about how the mind is looking at all its experiences, right? All our experiences, past, present, future, all the same. See, all phenomena, all experience as dreamlike. Is that clear? Is that what we've been doing? Yes. Now the next is asking us, well, this mind, this awareness that's aware that all phenomena is dreamlike. Is that real? Interesting question. Okay, I get it. Everything is dreamlike. Nothing solid, nothing permanent. But how about that which is aware of all that? My mind, me. I mean, that's got to be real. I'm really in bad shape. Is that clear? Can you see how important this one is? Because we could go, all right, I get it. Everything is dreamlike. But I'm not. I'm real, solid, and permanent. Right? I'm the one thing in this world that I can count on. Is that true? I mean, if not, then what? So, the next slogan is, so he says, should you wonder if mind itself is real or not? And then the next slogan is, examine the nature of unborn awareness. Okay. So this is very important. This is really the question of who am I? So if this is, you know, who's the dreamer? You see? It's like you wake up, you know, it's like all these dreams. Good dreams, bad dreams, crazy dreams, sane dreams, right? Who's the dreamer? Right? Who's making all this stuff up? Right? I mean, if everything that's arising in our dreamlike life is all coming from my mind, it's not, right? Everybody agree? It's not like television or something. You know, I mean, there's nobody sending signals to us. Just want to make sure that nobody here thinks aliens in outer space are controlling their mind. Is anybody, right? So if you don't think that, then if everything is arising from your mind, what is a mind? What is my mind? What is the nature of that? You see how central this is? So now the instructions are to turn and become curious and interested about the nature of my mind. Now, would everybody agree? Does everybody think they have a mind? Okay, I mean, is that general agreement? Everybody thinks they have a mind, right? Now, if I said to you, what is it that said that? What is it that said that? Yes, I know I have a mind, right? I'm aware that I have a mind, right? What is that? What could that be? Right? Or you're looking up front here, you're looking at me, you'd say to yourself, right, I'm aware of Fred, right? But what is the nature of that which is aware of this, or the Buddha, or whatever's up front, whatever you're looking at? So this is something that is so un-American. This is something that no one has ever told us to do. Unless you grew up in a very special home or you had a very special education, okay? Nobody ever said to you, what is the nature of your own mind? Just look, just turn and look at it. We have spent our whole life looking where? Out, right? Our whole life, we have been looking outside ourselves at all the things we see, smell, taste, touch. We've been looking out here, all the people, all the situation, and endlessly creating endless thoughts, stories, desires for, needs for, right? All this stuff out there. Is that true? Isn't that what life's about? Right? That's the bottom line. No one has ever said, but what's going on in here? Who's looking, you know, who needs all that stuff? Right? What is that? Okay, so please close your eyes for a moment. Again, everybody can do this, whether you're here for the first time or you've, you know, this is not difficult. So just begin with that, whatever you want. The I need, I want. The I'm hearing Fred's voice. And just turn into your mind wherever you think that which is aware that you have needs or wants, that you like this or you didn't like that, that you had a good childhood or a happy childhood, that you're hearing this or hearing that. Just turn and look directly at that. That mind, that self, that which is aware of all this stuff. What is that? And don't think. So for those of you who are not familiar with Buddhism and thinking, you don't have to think anything. Actually, for those of you who aren't good thinkers, this is for you. You don't have to think anything. Just look into your mind. Turn and look into the mind. And what do you see when you look there? The one who worries, the one who wants, the one who loves, the one who hates, the one that thinks, the one that's aware of happiness and sadness. What is that? What is that one? Endless things to be aware of, but only one thing that's aware. What is that? Just turn and look directly into your own mind, your own awareness, with curiosity. What is it? What is awareness? What is mind? And just look. Don't think, which is hard for some people. Just take a moment, relax, and just look into your mind, into your awareness, and just see what you see, very practically. When you turn and look, what do you see? Do you see something? Is the mind, is awareness a thing? It's got a certain shape to it, a certain color to it, a certain dimension to it. Again, we are aware from morning till night. But we've never stopped and looked into what is this awareness? Is it a thing? Does it have a beginning or end? What is it? When you look directly at your mind, that which is aware, aware that you hear, taste, smell, think, everything, remember, aware of memories. What is awareness? What is that? The medium through which we experience everything. Is that another thing? Is that a real, solid thing? What is it? And the slogan is, examine the nature of unborn awareness. Not all the things we're aware of. that fundamental awareness? What is that? Just look at it. It's like a turning around in the mind and looking in the other direction. What happens when you look in that direction? You may be angry at something, hurt by something. You're lost in the story, but when you turn and look, who is it that's angry? What is it that's angry? What immediately happens? When we look in the other direction, what do we see? So please open your eyes. So what do you see when you just look in this direction? Anybody do this for the first time today? What did you see? I mean, everybody saw something or nothing or whatever. What? You didn't see anything. Well, hold on a second. One at a time. You saw nothing. You looked into, you didn't see like a little, about 2-inch, no? No, there was nobody in there? You couldn't find anybody. And what was that nothing like? What was it like when you turned and you just saw there was no thing there? It was quiet. That's interesting. It was quiet. Immediately it was quiet. You spend years trying to quiet your mind, right? You know? Working very hard to quiet your mind. And then you turn to the essence of your mind and you see it's quiet in there. It's always quiet. What else did you feel? What did you feel when you just turned? Tight, constricted? How did you feel? Easy. Ease. Everything's easy. You think it's been there all along, you just have never noticed that quality of your mind? Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? Whew. Running after this or that. And yet that which I wanted was always here. Anybody else for the first time? Yes. Echo, echo, echo means, what does that mean to you? So it wasn't kind of not oppressive or still. It was calm, but things could move around. You could you hear this? Yeah. It's just so awareness. It's a lot of space and openness. It's empty. You couldn't find any. You didn't find like a little Jude in there. But you couldn't find a little. But there wasn't a little Jude in there.
No,
you're kidding. And did you find, you didn't find a little entity called your mind, you know, M-I-N-D or anything, or awareness, A-W-A?
Well, no, I thought I did because I kept looking for it.
Yeah, we have all kinds of ideas, don't we? But if I said to you, Jude, What is it that knows that, that just said that? When you look at that, what do you see? Yeah, nothing there. And yet, as you said, we're aware. But yet, anybody else? Yes. Yeah, so I would say you got to go beyond that. So the question is, so that's just another image. But that image appeared, who, what is it that saw that image of the mirrors? But I want you to look at that which is aware of that. And what is that? Is that a thing? Is it out there? Where is it? Well, is it really going either way? So there's really no way. There's no inner or outer way, is there? It's just aware. Are you aware now? Why do you have to call it a something? Like a thing? See, this is the problem with this. Mind is not a thing. We're used to material. Everything can be measured and weighed, right? But this awareness that every being has is not a thing, is it? Anybody else? Somebody said yes. In the back. You saw darkness. Good. So it was dark. Uh-huh. Okay. So that's good. But what's your name? Your name? April? Yeah, so I'd say April. So you close your eyes, it was dark, and then all of a sudden images from your past showed up, right? Now, you were aware of those, that you were seeing those images, right? Now, if I said to you, April, just close your eyes and just turn and look at that which was aware of the images, not the images. What do you see when you turn in the other direction? Do you really see? Just close your eyes a second. And just really, don't tell me what you think you're going to see. What do you actually see? So there's obviously you're seeing images of your past, like a movie. But when you turn in the direction of that which is looking, what do you see? There you go. Okay, it's dark. But is there anything going on? I mean, is it peaceful? Is it quiet? All right. Well, why don't you just relax a little more? Do you often have peace and quiet in your mind? No. Isn't it nice to know that you have that quality in you, April? It's always available to you. But we'll never feel it. Why not? Because we're dealing with all this stuff, right? And that stuff keeps you what? Riled up. Right? So you got to turn and go, what's aware of all that? You see? And then you go, oh, it's immediately, it's peaceful, quiet. Whew, who would have ever thought, right? Yeah, it's like that. Good. What? Am I what? Oh, no. Oh, I don't. I'm just a local. Somebody else said they saw fear. Who said that? Okay, so that was good. So I would say just, you know, you're still looking at the phenomena of what's arising in the mind, fear. But if I say to you, just close your eyes a second, there's something that's aware that there's fear, right? Look or just enter into that which is aware, not the fear. but that which is aware. Very simple. Everybody has awareness. We're aware of good things, bad things, thoughts, feelings. But now we're, when you just turn and look at that which is aware, that there's fear, not the fear. Okay. You see, this is something that no one ever taught us. You see, as long as you're in the, you know, it's sort of like here's awareness, right? If I had a board, I could write awareness, right? Like over here. And then over here, I could write a million things. Awareness of what? Of sights, of sounds, of smells, of tastes, of touch, of feelings. And you know what I mean? The list could go on forever. Needs, wants, desires, goals. it could be a million things. But the awareness is the one thing that stays the same. Okay? But we live where, unfortunately? On the board, which is, again, where we live. But we've forgotten this one. And this is the most important. Because if we don't remember who and what we really are, and we're lost in this, then what happens? We're just swept away, right? So this is a very key, like a very fundamental shift, you know. And even if we don't, it's interesting. You know Buddha? Like Buddha? By the way, this is just a statue. You know what Buddha means? Buddha means awake. Buddha. It's a Sanskrit, you know. It's just somebody who's awake. You know. Again, last night, we all were lost in dreams, weren't we? But as soon as we awake, we have this great knowledge. What? About dreams. Everybody in this room. Right? Whether you're educated or uneducated, knows that whatever they were dreaming about last night, as soon as they wake up in the morning, what do they immediately know? What? It was a dream. Now, sometimes that's disappointing because you really were having a great dream. You know? You won the lottery or, you were flying in the air. I mean, you were having a great dream. Everything was going your way. So sometimes the dream, you know, when we wake up, it's disappointing. When we've had a bad dream, we go, we're what? Happy. But we all know at that moment, we have that wisdom, right? That what was going on was dream. It wasn't real. It seemed real. It's not real. So the Buddha is somebody who is awake. And in Buddhism, anybody who wakes up and understands the nature of this life is a Buddha. So that is why Marilyn says when we bow to the Buddha, we're not bowing to a statue. We're bowing to a representation of this capacity that we all have to be awake. When you're awake, you're not fooled by the dream. But we're fooled by the dream, aren't we? And the dream's always changing. Have you always been afraid of the thing you're afraid of now? No. Right? It's current. Will you always be afraid of this thing? No. When you know that, it doesn't mean you don't deal with whatever it is. You see, you still got to deal with it. But that you have that knowing. That's the power of this. Just kind of play with it, you know, to begin to feel this world as dreamlike. It's not solid. It's endlessly changing. It has no substance. And yet what? And yet I got to deal with it. The reality of what's going on. The temporary reality. The situation. Are we clear? Good. Yeah, did you have something? You're gonna, you know. I won't have a job left if this continues. So good. Why don't we stop for today? Thank you, everyone.